I'd like to call this evening's Monroe City Council meeting to order. This is a regular business meeting for Tuesday, December 2nd. The time now is 7 p.m. Edie, will you call the roll, please?
Certainly. Council members present in establishing a quorum are Hanford, Rasmussen, Camp, Davis, Gamble, and Garing.
Will everybody please rise and join me in the pledge of allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. First item that we have on our agenda this evening, it's under announcements and presentations. It's a presentation from Fort Monroe High School, Principal Lombardi. Thank you very much for coming this evening.
Good evening. PowerPoint, I don't know if I'm my able to just jump in.
Yes, sir.
You talk all plug.
Great. The presentation I actually brought along, and in calling down today, I wasn't quite sure what you were looking for. And I was told it was my mic, and I had for about 45 minutes to an hour. We're going to go over our entire learning improvement plan. Actually, what I've done is I brought a very pared-down version of a presentation we did last year to the Washington State School Boards. And it's really kind of a state of the union of where we are at in Monroe High School currently, some of the work that we've done to really improve the quality of education that the kids and families of Monroe are getting from our high school. One of the things that the presentation won't cover, though, is the new state index. And so I don't know how familiar you are with that, but the state now is ranking schools based on not only how well your students do on certain assessments, but also how much they grow over time. And so when the assessments first came out, Monroe was rated as a fair school. I went in front of my staff and explained that the only times I wanted the word fair in Monroe High School used in the same sentence was right around Labor Day. Otherwise, it wasn't acceptable. And I'm proud to say that right now we are ranked as a very good school, and we are on the cusp of being an exemplary school. One of the things I've also done every year since I've come to Monroe is rated our school academically against the schools that we compete against athletically. And, since the day I came to Monroe, we've had a very proud tradition in athletics, and it wasn't okay to lose to Snohomish in a football game or to Lake Stevens, but we really never stopped and talked about how we did against them academically. And at that point in time, there were 12 teams in the league. Right now, there's only 8. And we were near the bottom. And at this point in time, we're near the top in every one of our categories academically. And it's kind of nice, though, that now we beat Snohomish athletically out there on the football field, and we're beating them academically. And so it's something that I'm really proud of, because I know that that is one of our big rivals. So,
presentation?
Yep.
MCC. Thank you.
And so one of the main focuses that we've done up at the high school is to really start looking at ninth grade success, because the ninth grade, of course, is the foundation for all work. And so right now, all research is pointing to ninth grade as the most important year in high school. So most parents, if you'll speak to parents, in fact, I just had a high school senior not long ago, and I have a sophomore right now. Most high school parents will focus in on the junior year. That's the big year. But all the research is saying, no, it's ninth grade. Ninth grade is the indicator of all success. In fact, EdLab, you saw Columbia University's headline there. EdLab actually says that ninth grade is the make or break year for most students. And they say that the research is grim at best. Ninth graders have the lowest GPAs, they miss the most school, they have the most misbehavior referrals. Really, ninth grade establishes academic success from high school through college. In fact, the Brookings report talked about in the 1970s about 3% of all 10th graders were retaking ninth grade courses. And in 2000, that jumped to 11%. I think by 2014, that number hasn't gotten much better. So So about 22% of all students were retaking ninth grade courses. So as we said, we have a problem. And we use that picture purposefully because really, you know, the wheels are off of that vehicle. And if we don't take care of our ninth grade students, the wheels are off of their educational future. So what we did, we talked about Monroe High School and what it looked like. And, you know, these demographics are great. And what I explained, as you know, I could see all these school board members sitting in the audience and them looking at that, and some of them going, oh, they have it easy. We have way more free and reduced. We have way more ethnicity. We have all those other indicators. And I saw others going, we're so much better off because, you know, we don't have all of those problems. And what I tried to explain to them is we're not talking about ethnicity. We're not talking about free and reduced. We're not talking about special education. We're talking about kids. And we're talking about doing what's best for kids. And so this is really about our journey. And to understand our journey, I want to put our past into context. And by the way, I'm running through this. This presentation was about 3 hours, and I'm going to do it for you in 10 minutes, because I was still 10 to 15. So this is who we used to be. In 2007, Monroe High School gave out over 1,000 failing grades to 470 students. So approximately 30% of our student body was failing one or more classes. 10% were failing half of their classes, and about 3% were failing just about everything. In math, our WASL, and remember that name has changed a few times, it's changing again, the WASL passing rate was under 50%. And in our classes, you can see that our kids weren't doing all that great either. We were trying to help them in geometry through technology, and 73% of them were failing. 56 were failing a math review 100. And algebra 1 was failing at a 25% rate. By the way, that algebra 1 number is actually very common in high schools all around this area. We looked at one of our main indicators, which was freshmen earning 5 or more credits. So a freshman earning 5 or more credits means they're on track to graduate, and the likelihood of them graduating on time is exponentially higher than a student that is even 1 credit behind them. And so you can see here, less than 70% of our kids were earning 5 or more credits, and that little bottom number down there, 14, was the number that were earning all 6. So our first deal was to tackle our biggest problem, and that was algebra. What was occurring when I got to Monroe High School was we would have about 100 kids every year come in with low math skills. Come in with low math skills. We put them into pre-algebra. We put them into that Algebra 100 class I just showed you, and 60% of them would fail. And so what we would do is we'd put them back into pre-algebra, and they would continue to fail. So what we did is we created a continuous cycle of failure, and kids went back and said, well, I'm not good at math. Then we had a teacher come in, Kathy Stilwell. And she proposed we do something different. We had tried a lot of different stuff, but I'll go over in a minute. And she wanted to change the way that kids thought. So we went from, you know, year-long algebra, repeat it if you need it, to semester algebra. If you failed first semester, you went back and retook first semester. And algebra was a math support class, so you might have algebra first period and a math support somewhere else in your day. Surprisingly, those kids would always walk into that next period and say, oh, I got algebra, don't worry about it. And then we went to a 2-period algebra class for struggling students. And now we've gone to a 2-period algebra block for all kids. I'm going to talk about that real briefly. This is what transformed our math. Algebra block. So originally this started out with just those low-performing kids. So Kathy Stilwell said, give me all those kids that are coming in with low math skills. And we're going to stop teaching them pre-algebra. We're going to teach them algebra. But I want them for 2 hours. And so she changed how she taught, she changed what she taught, she sat down and looked at all the state assessments and said, what truly do these kids, what, you know, what do they really need to know and be able to do? And she created a math block. Great thing is, nobody failed pre-algebra anymore, because we didn't offer it. So she took those 100 kids, and 98% of them passed algebra. Out of that 98%, about 78% passed the math state assessments on the first try. So we said something that doesn't happen very much in public education or in any part of our world, and that is that work, let's do more of it. And so what we actually went to was a system where we took about 150 ninth graders, and 5 teachers, and all of them taught the same thing during the same time. So right now, if you come up to my high school, first and second period, you'll find math block 1 on. So we took all of our 9th graders that were going into algebra, or at least in this case 150, and we said to parents, give us your kids for 2 hours. And here's our promise. Our promise is that 90% of them are going to pass algebra. Now, in our regular algebra class, only 75% were passing. So that's a pretty big leap, Mom and Dad. Yeah, trust me on this. We also said that if you have them for 2 hours, a portion of them will get done with algebra 1 first semester and then take geometry 2nd semester, which means that they will now be on honors track because sophomores in algebra 2 are considered honors track. And so we begged parents, and we took 150 kids and put them in, and then we started to fight. Parents called us up and said, I don't want my kid in there. You're taking away their elective. What are you thinking? And we fought, and we scratched, and we talked them into keeping them there. And I promised that 20 of those 150 kids would move on to geometry in 2nd semester. And I was sweating. I would go to my math teachers about every 2 weeks, how they were. Please tell me there's going to be 20 kids. Well, there wasn't. There was 60. And what happened is we divided kids essentially into 3 groups. And so what happened was is those kids who got that stuff really quick, after 6 weeks, they all were taught the same thing at the same time. They were all assessed on the exact same assessment on the exact same day. And then those teachers got together and they looked over those results and they took all those kids that were really high achieving and they moved them all into the same classes. And they took those kids that were going kind of pretty good but not quite just catching on, and they put all them in the same classes. And then those kids that really struggled, they put them into the same classes. Now people say that's distracting. Well, it is. But it did something incredibly different. First of all, it put kids into a class with other kids that were at the same pace. And so I don't know about you, I wasn't a fabulous math student, but I wouldn't ask questions. Because every time I raised my hand, 2 of my friends would go, oh, don't slow us down. And so I wouldn't do it because I was embarrassed. And the kid in the middle was happy, and the kid on that top end was bored. And many of them didn't do well because they were so bored. Well, now, all of those kids, they were cruising. They're moving on to the second unit. They're ready to go. That middle group took a little bit more time throughout the year, and that bottom group went back and started over and went slower and said, we're going to teach you math. Now, the funny part is that bottom group didn't say, oh, we're the dumb group. You know what that bottom group said is? We're going to learn math. We're going to be successful. I'm going to ask questions. I'm going to be cool in here. We got it down. So what they did is they broke it down into 3 mods, and students worked through each of those mods, and if you're a math guy, you understand what that means. I don't. So we shuffled, those teachers worked, we changed the mindset. Kids were more worried about learning math than they were about whether or not they were going to embarrass themselves in class, whether they were going too slow, too fast, too whatever. The teachers all worked together. We worked in what we call professional learning communities, and it's not rocket science. The whole idea is teachers talking with other teachers. Now you'd say, come on, that's got to happen everywhere. Well, a researcher named Smoker describes the typical American high school as a group of independent contractors brought together by a common parking lot. When I taught school, there was no way someone was going to walk into my room and give me suggestions, and there was no way I could walk into one of my colleagues and do the same. That's gone to our school. Departments go in. They want to understand. If you go ahead and talk to Neil Henderson and ask him about math kids, he's going to talk about every kid in the block, because every one of those kids are his kids, because that's what he has in that block. And then we gave kids time to learn. And you can see the outcome of the mod block. So that first year, we had 60 kids who finished Algebra 1 in the first semester. The next year, it jumped to 90. The next year, it jumped to 120. And it stabilized at about 120. What they essentially did is they divided kids into 2 groups, can'ts and won'ts. We can deal with the can'ts, because that means we just need to figure out what part they don't understand, and we work with them, and we work with them, and we don't give up on them. My daughter, I drove my daughter from Seattle, we lived in Ballard at the time, and I drove my daughter here last year to be in math block. And my daughter made a really interesting comment to me one day. And she said, you know what, I love Mrs. Neslin, that was her math teacher. She's really odd. And I said, she is. What do you think is odd about her? And she said, you know, I've had really good teachers and they'll work with you until you give up. Mrs. Nesland works with you until you get it. Profound change in the way kids perceive their work and how teachers do it. These numbers have stabilized at 120. The problem is different now. When we did pre-registration this year, I actually had enough requests for 8 blocks. Parents are now upset because their kids don't get in. And so this year we've expanded it to 7 blocks. And we will probably follow this trend. About 2/3 of the kids will move on to geometry, and about 1/3 will go back and work on their algebra. Math scores have changed. Remember I talked to you about in 2007, less than 50% were passing state assessments. That's now at 82% in algebra and 92.5% in geometry. Those are staggering differences. We also started to look at the power of personalization. So counseling, and we have a program called Link Crew, which really focuses in on the 3 fundamentals that freshmen need. They need to feel safe. They need to know, they need to be able to have the information that will help them be successful, and they need to feel a connection. So the way this works is no freshman walks into our building without having an upperclassman as a mentor. So our first day is Link Day. And in fact, this year, it was optional. So because of the state's change in how they do hours, we actually did it day before the first day of school. And the kids, the mentors were volunteering to be there, and the freshmen didn't have to come. 94% of our freshmen showed up for that optional day and went through our Link Crew program. The Link Crew leaders sit down and indoctrinate them. I use that word very purposefully. They talk to them about what it means to be a Bearcat. That doesn't mean that you just come to school in orange and black. It means you come to school to learn. It means you come to school to create community. It means you come to school to work hard. And then they also mentor them. So they will run study periods and study halls. They're tutoring, and they're working with these kids throughout the year. The last piece with this was really to look at our interventions. And that picture really talks about what most schools do with their interventions. And this is all around a gentleman named Mike Matos. And what Mike came out and said was, you know, most schools are really big-hearted, and they're going to look at ways to help kids. And so they do before school. They do after-school tutoring. They do Saturday school tutoring. They do tutoring on lunches. And he said, just stop and think about your kids that need help the most. How do they get to school? They ride a bus. They can't come before school. And they can't stay after. And for many of us, if you look at my demographics, over a quarter of my kids, this is the one place they get a hot meal. So you're going to ask them to give up their lunch. And then you're going to assume that that parent is then going to drive them there on Saturday. So you really need to stop and look at ways to work with kids. So we actually created 2 different interventions. It's our study time intervention, probably one of the most misunderstood things in our school at this moment. And then helping to organize our H2O. Study time intervention is on Monday, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays, we stop about 40 minutes early. And students that need help can get a pass throughout the day and go back and see that teacher for help. So if I'm in science and I didn't understand meiosis, I can go back and see my teacher and get extra help in meiosis. I can go to the study time hall that's being run by the Link Crew leaders. I can go get help. Helping to organize is a lunchtime program. One of the number one reasons kids don't succeed in school is that they don't do the homework. And so one of the things we'll do is, the student walks in on Monday and they're supposed to turn in an assignment and they don't have it, teacher can give them the option, has the option of giving them an H2O pass, which means on Tuesday, they give up their lunchtime. We actually deliver lunch to them, so they still eat. But they give up their lunch to go up and work on that assignment until it's done. Now, there's one way to get out of it. Turn in your work Tuesday morning. You would be shocked at how much work gets turned in. Now, a lot of our staff said, wait a minute, we're teaching them to be irresponsible. And I said, stop. Tell me anywhere in this world where you don't do your work and you get a 0. So, you know, there's this one company real big on timelines, and they don't give 0s. It's called the IRS. If you don't turn your taxes in on time, they don't say, oh, you get a 0, turn them in next year. No. What they say is there's a penalty, and you get them in now, and if you don't, we're going to keep pounding you. And that's what we're trying to do. What we're trying to do is create a climate where it's harder to fail than it is to succeed. So you can see the difference in grades here, and this is Levine's class after the first year of her using H2O. Her A's increase, and more importantly, her F's decrease. And you can see our comparison in the last 2 years around our F's. You remember back in 07, we'd given out over 1,000, when we had dropped that down into the hundreds, and dropped that down even more with the H2O interventions. The last but not least is Bearcat U. It's our summer program. It's our summer boot camp, our summer success program. Sorry, I'm not supposed to call it boot camp. It really focuses in on incoming ninth graders that struggle through reading, organization, and motivation. And so what we do is we try to bring them in before school starts, 2 weeks before the school year starts. And really, one of the biggest factors is most of those kids who have not been successful in school will walk in that first 2 weeks of school, and about 2-3 weeks in, they'll go, oh, school started, and now they're behind. So what we do is we bring them in about 2 weeks early and start breaking that rust up. We start working with them on reading strategies, motivation strategies, how to get organized, how to get ready to be in school, how to take tests, how to do all of that kind of work, and we really get focused in on it. And then we follow up with them throughout those 6 to 8 weeks in the first part of the year to make sure that they're on task, that they're driven, that they're working hard. And it's been amazingly successful. Our first year, we had 22 kids. We did send out invitations to struggling kids. We sent out 88 invitations, 22 accepted. That's our next big hurdle. But out of those 21, of those 22 kids who hadn't passed very much in middle school, were passing almost all of their classes, if not all of their classes. It was a big, big change for them. A lot of those kids were going back to those Bearcat teachers and just bringing in basic, look, I actually got a B on an English paper. I've never gotten an A on an English paper. But they had made connections and they had helped those kids feel successful. This last year, we actually had the opposite problem. We had parents whose kids really didn't need reading strategies insisting, my kid wants to get into school 2 weeks early. And so we actually ran a double program. So what are all these results? Well, as we talked about some of that 2000 stats back, if you remember in 2007, 70% of our 8th graders were passing 5 or more classes. That number is now 90%. Our results around low income, you can see all of the different state assessments from 2011-2012 to 2012-13. All of our areas of state assessments have increased with our low income students. Our special ed data has improved over all areas. Our parent feedback has flipped. It has started to become positive. And so, you know, parents are saying, am I aware of the work that you're doing with struggling students? And that has become very positive. The interventions, are they effective? Once again, very positive. And then one of the things we talked about with the school board was, how many things can you get over 90% of your parents to agree to? Well, in our school, 97% of all of our parents agree that often or always our teachers are dedicated and there to help students succeed. That is a huge increase over time. Our students have the exact same feedback. Sorry, I know I'm jumping through this very quickly. And then this is our last piece. This is our new pyramid of interventions that we've worked on. And so what this is it's really and it's upside down on purpose, because up at the top, that's for everybody. Those are interventions we should be doing for all kids. But if a teacher has a kid who's struggling, you can look down. What are those tier two interventions? What kind of things can we help kids and help them be successful? And then tier three is, geez, you know what, before we start labeling kids with things like 504s and special ed, really, have we done everything possible to make sure that kid is successful? And then for our next steps, we're going to keep working down this track. We have been sitting right at that 89-90% mark with our ninth graders. My focus is to move that up into the 90s. I want to break that cap. We've been there for 3 years. And then we are just focusing in our learning improvement plan with our building leadership team, and we're continuing to move forward. There, I just did 3 hours of lessons.
Thank you.
In about 10 minutes. Can I answer any questions or anything else? You know, the other thing I hope is the school board's going to be voting on a bond, so until they do that, I can talk about it freely. I hope that the city council will do everything it can to help support that bond so that we can get some fields and facilities that actually represent the amazing community that we're all part of. So once again, thank you, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Councilmembers, Councilmember Garrett.
Thank you. I appreciate you being able to be here tonight. Certainly, I'm on board with what I've heard, at least with regard to upgrading some athletic facilities, and that's included. certainly, a lot of needs, but the fact that that is in there certainly makes it easier sell, and I do appreciate that because that is a need. Getting those baseball stadiums finished up at the high school, actually, to play baseball right there. Improvements to a lot of places that need improvements. So. What I've heard, what I've seen, is something that should be pretty easy for everybody to get behind. So we've heard others say as well, there's a lot of support here, and certainly for me. So I do appreciate you coming. And my son's a freshman, so I appreciate the importance of the freshman of that year. We've sensed it and seen him. You know, at first it was being a little bit blown away. It's high school, and I'm walking around, and there's all these people, and you know, so I can understand. There's a little bit, you know, there's the, just some getting used to ninth grade as well, I think, plays into some of that perhaps. But he's doing well and he really loves it now. You know, it's only a few months in. But, so I appreciate your leadership at the school, too. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Ginsburg.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate your leadership as well. Three of my kids go through your school. One of them graduated, one's a senior, and one's a sophomore this year. So I know that it's been a great experience so far. Same thing. We support the. We're supporting the levy and all that, so everyone good help.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah. So what you're hearing is there's several door knockers and phone calls.
That's on y'all. Mike's
right here. Right. Yes, absolutely. I support it. It's time, and I think that we've got the data and a lot of the positive, you know, steps moving forward that you know we can get it passed. I think the economy's. You know, helps with that, and it's just I think we're in a good position, you know, for it. And all of the stuff is about this maybe second or third time I've seen this presentation. No, it's okay. I it's a great presentation, and it's obviously been updated. I say that, but at the same time, it's always shocking to me how many people don't know that information in the community. So I'm not knocking it in any way, shape, or form. That message needs to get out there because it's a very positive one, and I'm excited about it. I've got a seventh grader, so I got one, you know, coming soon to a theater near you. It will be a gamble at the high school. so it, you know, it's great, and I'm excited for that. You know, the one question I did have, my naiveness because I don't have a high schooler. In the comments of, you know, losing the elective, that is, you know, parents aren't pretty passionate about that. Kids are pretty passionate about that. So how many does a freshman have?
Well, they have one. And in all honesty, with the state changes, your kids are under a whole different set of rules. Core 24 is coming into place for our current seventh graders. That's why your kids will be doing Washington State history in middle school now. That's a fairly long discussion. But happy to have it with you if you're willing.
So how does that affect some of your other programs, like the music program?
You know, Core 24, you still have to take fine arts. There are ways to waive some of the courses. The big piece is that under state law, you have to have about 20 credits to graduate. Our school district requires 22 and a half. The state is now requiring that all students attempt 24. They still need to have the 22 and a half to graduate. And there is some wiggle room in there. As I sit down and I talk with any kids that are involved in, say, music, band, drama, or any kind of specialty program, unfortunately, you have to make choices. It bites into electives a little bit, but there are ways to mitigate that and minimize that impact and allow students to really follow their passions.
If they go to the math block, they only have one, they lose their one. Is that what it is?
Correct, yes. But there's choices in there. And so they can still do band and math block. We can make that work. In fact, it's purposeful that we do math block first and second period because it doesn't impact freshman band where it's traditionally been placed. We want kids in there. We want them doing that. In all honesty, to be honest, I kind of hope math block goes away. The middle schools are having more and more of their kids going through algebra and geometry, which may make it obsolete. And then it's a program just to help those students who still struggle in math. But it sure has been nice to help our kids vault forward in mathematics. And the crazy part is math is our largest growing department. Those kids that started out in that survey, that Kathy Stillwell class, are actually taking pre-calculus. And they're required to take algebra too, but many of them went into pre-calc. We have more pre-calc sections now than most high schools in our area. And the reason for, I called some of those kids down and I said, why are you taking pre-calc? You don't have to take this math. And they said, I like math. I'm good at math. So it really changed mindsets on kids and opened up some doors for them in math and sciences.
That's great. Thanks.
Any other council members with any questions or comments? Principal Lombardi, thank you very much for coming.
Thanks
this evening.
A lot. Thank you.
The next item that we have on this evening's agenda is comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except in a quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. We have a sign-in sheet, and we have one person who has signed up to speak, Mr. Lowell Anderson. Please come forward and state your name and address for the record. Thank you.
Lowell Anderson, 129 East Fremont Drive, Monroe, Washington. I feel disadvantaged after going that silver-tongued orator that we just had here. I'm not an educator. The reason I'm here tonight is to talk a little bit about the budget and also East Monroe and how they tie together. I want to commend you folks on having a balanced budget. I think you've done a remarkable job on that. I don't like the increase, but nobody does, so we have a slight increase, and that's fine. But on further investigation, my understanding is that the 2015 budget assumption was not to the $70,000 to $100,000 for the East Monroe rezone. That money most likely will come from the contingency fund, which is currently $400,000 below the $800,000 that this budget should have, making a deficit of about $500,000. Remember, East Monroe is a non-project rezone, meaning no one is waiting to develop it, which means no money in for the city. Is going forward with the East Monroe rezone a sensible decision that is using our tax dollars prudently? That's the question I want to leave you with. I know that I've jumped the horse here, or I mean, I've jumped the cart before the horse. We have voted on that, but I suspect that that's what you can do. And that's the question for you. Thank you for your time. And please don't put me behind a guy like that ever again.
Is there anybody else that would like to come forward to give comments from citizens?
Not on his, but I didn't know what I needed to sign in on, so.
You don't need to sign in, so signing in is something that is convenient for us, but if you have anything else you'd like to speak to, please come up. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Okay.
Please state your name and address for the record when you get to the podium. Thank you.
My name is Dan LaFleur, and our business address is 211 South Lewis Street. Came into the City Public Works Wednesday morning, talked with three gentlemen, and was talking to them about getting some signage on the street in front of our business, and the last guy informed me that the council had been reviewing parking signs and basically told me to come here and listen in tonight, because I didn't know if you're having a meeting about the signs tonight or not. So I came here. I apologize. It sounds like I'm way on the tail end of the parking signs. Okay, well, that's the way it made it sound. So basically, I don't want to waste anybody's time. If there's a direction you guys can send me where I can talk to people, or, you know, give my opinion now.
Right now.
And I'm going to be, you guys can come in and let me know what I'm wrong or right. I don't know what the laws are going to be. And somebody was telling me that they're looking in the downtown area where we are, because we're zoned in the downtown area. We're right next to the PUD building, the automotive shop. They were saying that the signs would be like 24-hour signs on the street for public parking, 2 to 4. And I came in to ask, we have the beverage shop that just reopened a few months ago with some nice people, family running it. And you know, the parking in front of his location, you know, people will park for 2-4 hours, you know, go to the hair salon or go to Kegan Q or go to whatever. And I came in to ask if I could put, you know, parking in front of his store, 20-minute parking for like 2 to 3 stalls just in front of the main, you know, his front door. You know, not the whole street side, but just, you know, 15 to 20 minutes. Now, the rest of that corner is on our property line also. You know, if you could divide it up and, you know, split it to where 2 to 4 hours for the rest of the half of the block for the people to go to the Kevin Q or the hair salon. And, you know, so I don't know what your guys' proposal on parking, but I think it really needs to be open-minded to the benefit of the business. Because, you know, somebody parking in front of the beverage stop for 2 hours is going to hurt his income, which is going to hurt the tax revenue for the city of Monroe. You know, it's a convenience store. They got to get in, get out, and keep going. So that's what I came down for today. Is, you know, I wanted to see what your guys' proposals were, but I came down just to ask the Public Works, is, you know, can I put signs up there? Can you, you know, I get the city to do it for me. And that I was directly here, so
thank you.
I'm here.
We'll be discussing the item later on, and I think that staff has prepared an amendment to the document that's online that would add a 15 or a 20 minute parking zone in that general vicinity. So there'll be a presentation from Mr. Feilberg right over there here shortly, I believe. Okay.
And
that was a proposal, was to add an exception to allow for shorter parking, I think, right where you were discussing. So.
Okay. And the last question is, where would I need to go to be more informed for information on the zoning in downtown or things that are being changed? Because, you know, we took over that building in 2012. We've got an automotive shop in there. There's 2 automotive shops. There's a beverage stop. You know, we're a part of the community, and we're going to be here.
Yeah. The 2 people would be Puna, who is the chamber director right there, and she's got her card. And the other person would right now would be Brad Feilberg. He is our Public Works and Community Development Department director during this time.
I was supposed to come to one of the lunches with you. And
so I work at Kirkland daily, so I'm not out here full time. So.
Those would be your 2 contacts right there.
All right. Thanks for your time.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. Councilmember Garrett.
I was just looking. I didn't see an actual map because as he was talking, I wanted to look at the map over again. I don't think there was one in the packet. There was previously, but in the packet, I didn't see a map this time. But we can talk about that when we get to that agenda item. So thank you.
Are there any other members of the public that would like to come forward to speak? Yes.
I'm just here to chat today.
Please state your name and address for the record.
Hi, I'm Luna. I work at 125 South Lewis. And, I'm here to tell you about the meeting events that are going on Saturday, so I hope you all have clear plates. I expect to see you all. And it will start at 11 a.m. So if you're going to be driving downtown, anyone, after 8 a.m., it will be closed down, which might cause minor inconvenience for some people, which is not my intention. The intention is to have fun. So 8 o'clock in the morning, the road will be shut down, both East and West Main Street. Lewis, of course, will be open. And starting at 11, I'm guaranteeing snow. Now, it's not the stuff that came down last week that sticks around for a long time. It's Hollywood style. And apparently, it melts on impact. I don't think that's really any fun. There'll be no snowballs being thrown. But there will be live snow, and that will be happening from 11 to 6. There'll be a stage that will be set up. Mike is helping us set up a stage on Friday. And that will have live music on it between 11 and 6. At about 10:30 in the morning, Santa is going to be arriving at the fire station, and then Chief Silva's not here, but he'll be taking Santa personally, I'm sure, through many of our neighborhoods and inviting the children of the community to come to downtown to sit with Santa. These are all free events. Santa will have Mrs. Claus with him as well, and not only do we have Santa and Mrs. Claus, we also have Santa Pony. We don't really know what that means, other than it's a live pony that looks like Santa. Santa the Pony will not be on the stage with Santa, and the Pony will be out on Main Street. Santa photos are going to be at 114 North Lewis. That was Signature. It was the original Eagle Call. It's now called the Junction. It's not officially open yet. We're just facilitating the use of the building while we're getting ready to open. But there's a lovely stage in there, and that's where Santa and Mrs. Claus will be. There will be a professional photographer there taking photos, but again, it will be free, and she will send them directly to your email address where you can send them or do whatever you'd like with them. The stage will have a bunch of, again, free music. Some of it will be from the lovely school system that we had John speaking of earlier today. We have a, believe it or not, a Bon Jovi band that lives here in Monroe and travels nationally that's going to be doing Christmas music. Kind of exciting. I don't know how I find these folks. And we also have Fire on Main Street. I know the teacher is super excited about that. We're going to have a bunch of fire pits and live fire. The junior ROTCs are going to take charge of that event so that nobody gets hurt. And we'll have a bunch of hay bales sitting around so folks can warm themselves in the fire as the snow is coming down over them. We have some food trucks. We have a bunch of other critters to pet besides the Santa Pony. We have some alpacas. We have a pot that we can take. Does everybody need one of those? And to make it even better, we have live paintball, another free event that will be happening in the Monroe Chambers parking lot. So paintball will be going on, and you'll be able to shoot at a tree, a live moving tree. I'm not really sure how that's going to work either. I suggested a Grinch or an elf, but I was told it would be nice shooting at a person or a thing. So we're going to be shooting at a tree.
Maybe a rock or two.
Right, that would be good. What else is going on? We have, of course, the tree lighting. So they need Jeffrey to be there to throw the switch for the tree lighting before he runs off to the barn dance. And all in all, a great time will be had by everyone. So I do encourage you all to come out. Again, there will be no parking on Main Street because Main Street will be closed down at 8 o'clock in the morning, and there will be live fires on Main Street instead. There will be petting zoos and music and Santa and paintball and more fun than you can shake the head. So that said, I'll see you all on Saturday.
Walmart?
Oh, yes. Okay. So tomorrow morning, for those of you who are not doing anything at 7:30 a.m., there will be a ribbon cutting at Walmart in the produce department. And I will be there with Belgron if you want to join me. And of course, Jeffrey will be. Good.
Okay. Anybody have any questions for Councilmember Hanford? Has a question for you?
Yes, I'm planning on attending Saturday, but I won't be able to be there all day because of the other activities. But what time is the official tree lighting to make sure that I don't miss it?
The official tree lighting is at 6 p.m. And potentially a near the tree lighting, we will have one of our local celebrity residents lighting himself on fire. I don't have a guarantee on that yet for a time, but it will be sometime.
It is History Channel on that one too.
So it will be sometime around the
field. Anything else, Councilmember Hanford? Just a second, but Councilmember Rasmussen.
I just want to say bonfires and Bon Jovi, why wouldn't we?
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else from the public that would like to come forward and speak on any issue? Anybody? All right. We're going to move on now to the consent agenda. Councilmember Gehring.
I move to approve the consent agenda.
Second. I have a first from Councilmember Gehring, a second from Councilmember Camp for the approval of the consent agenda. Is there any discussion on the motion? Saying none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion passes 6-0. Next item on the agenda is under unfinished business. This is the first item, AB 14162, resolution number 025-2014, amending parking regulations. Brad, you're up. Brad is going to distribute a revised resolution.
Thank you.
There's a
revised.
And revised.
Okay. For many years, there's been discussion of parking in the downtown area. Most recently, the Chamber of Commerce suggested removing the time limit for parking in the downtown area for a trial period. This proposal was discussed by both the P4 committee and the full council, and citizens and business owners were invited to comment on the proposal. The most recent proposal reviewed by the P4 committee was to remove the 2-hour limit in the downtown zoning district and replace it with a 24-hour limit, except for 8 stalls on Main Street, which would be changed to 15-minute spaces. This pilot project would last until December 3rd, would last from December 3rd, or as soon as we get around to putting the signs up, which might be a couple days from now, until February 24th, unless the council takes action to extend that. Last week, Mr. LaFleur talked to me about the convenience store next to the Auto Repair Place. And so a substitute resolution, which has just been handed out to add that in case the council wishes to do that. That would include parking spaces for the 15-minute parking spaces in front of that big white building there just south of Fremont Street. And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Councilmember Garrett. Thank you. So I see that on page 4 of 7. 110 feet south of that intersection, that essentially
that's where the building
that includes that building, right?
Yeah,
now.
That's the start of the building. Yeah.
So 110 feet is right at Beverage Stop. Okay.
Well, the first part of the building is the Auto Repair Place.
The parking, the auto repair, and the
yes.
Beverage Stop.
So right? The first 110 feet is the parking area.
Okay.
So the 15 minute would be in front of the entire building.
In front of the entire building.
Yeah.
Which is the request.
Correct.
That was made. And yeah. That does make sense. We want people to be able to get in and out of there.
And we park, sorry to interrupt, but like the automotive part of it parks all in the gravel. So we don't use any of the street parking ourselves.
Great. All right. I appreciate that. Thank you. All right. So page 4-7 is where that change is made. I see two other yellow highlighted areas. That's the.
It's all related to that.
So this the first page 2 of 7 is between now and February 24th.
Right.
And then page 3 of 7 is if we extend past the 20th.
If you don't do anything else, the first 110 feet would be 24-hour until February 24th, and then it'll go back to the 2-hour.
And then 4 of 7 being the change that we just talked about.
Correct.
Okay. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Councilmember Rasmussen. Thank you. Fred, appreciate that. Putting all this together, and just for the council's information, when the P4 committee was looking at this, I mean, we completely understood that there's no system that's going to be the right fit for every business down there, and so our attempt in putting this together was to find something that would appease as many people as possible. Understand that it is a pilot program, and so we'll test it out and work with the chamber to get the feedback and reevaluate it come February. So I'm certainly supportive of this, and I'm happy to make a motion to approve resolution.
If you would like to make a motion for the substitute resolution,
yes,
which is what was just handed out, that would be.
Move to approve resolution 025-2014, substitute establishing parking restrictions in the city of Monroe, repealing resolution number 2012-028.
Second. We have a first from Councilmember Rasmussen and a second from Councilmember Cantor. Any discussion on the motion? Councilmember Tanner?
Yes, thank you. This is just a first reading, right?
No. It's resolution, it's effective immediately.
Okay, thank you.
Any other discussion on the motion?
Can I invite, just because the chamber brought up their event on Saturday, call me, I'll give you my number. It's like, we're closed on Saturdays and Sundays, and we have a big gravel parking lot, and we would like to open that up to events for the city and the moment to do things.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Because I know parking's tight in there, so I mean, if you need some parking.
We're second then.
Thank you.
We're second.
We have a motion on the floor. Any more discussion on the motion? Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you very much.
Point of order, Mayor.
Yes.
Can we have a second? Who seconded that motion?
Second was Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, next item on the agenda then is also under unfinished business. The second item is AD 4163, ordinance number 017-2014, amending impact fee waivers. First reading. Brad?
Thank you, sir.
The City of Monroe has, on an interim basis, repealed the school, parks, and transportation impact fee exemptions for low-income transitional and temporary housing. This interim repeal will expire on December 24, 2014. New regulations need to be adopted if the council wishes to limit the exposure of the city's general fund to provide replacement funds for these exemptions. The proposed ordinance in front of you, which has been modified from the one that was in the council packet, provides for an 80% exemption for school, parks, and transportation impact fees for low-income housing as provided for in RCW 8202-0603. And an additional 20% exemption replaced by the general fund in the amount budgeted each year on a first-come, first-served basis. This additional 20% exemption is not specifically allowed by RCW 8202, but is also not specifically prohibited. The first two exemptions that are struck out of the proposed ordinance, if you look at the three different sections for schools, parks, and transportation, the first two exemptions have been highlighted in red and struck out. Those are not allowed for the 80% exemption. It doesn't need to be replaced by RCW 8202. The city can still provide those exemptions if desired, but the general fund would have to replace the money to capital funds. Substitute a motion has been made available to remove these exemptions if desired. It is necessary to adopt an ordinance providing for the new exemptions no later than December 9th in order to have the new exemptions in place before the expiration of the interim of repeal. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Councilmember Gary.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. And thanks for the new version, Brad. So I'm just trying to remember from when we talked about this last week, because there were multiple recommendations, discussion points from previous, and it was, I'm trying to remember which one. We went with one that I thought the Planning Commission had recommended.
Correct.
As well. That's what this is that we're seeing before.
The only difference is we talked about doing transitional with the 80% last week,
that's what's been struck out.
That's not allowed to. If we want to continue to do that, we'd have to put it in a different section and pay. The general fund would have to pay for that.
Okay, so other than that, it's essentially what we talked about last time, based on the recommendation from the planning.
Correct.
And what we see in the black mold, and then all the stuff struck out.
Yeah. Okay,
very good. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Are there any other questions or comments from council? Excuse me just a second. If any council member is interested in making the motion to accept this first reading, I do have a substitute motion. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Move to accept this first reading of ordinance number 07-2014, substitute repealing ordinance number 007-2014, amending Monroe Municipal Code, Chapter 20.07, School Impact Mitigation Fee Program, Chapter 20.10, Park Impact Fees, and Chapter 20.12, Transportation Impact Fees, establishing certain public interest exemptions to the city's impact fee regulations, providing for severability and establishing an effective date.
Second. I have a first from Councilmember Rasmussen. I have a second from Councilmember Camp. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you. We're now moving into new business. We're moving into new business item number 1, AB 14-164, ordinance number 018, 2014, adopting 2015 budget first reading. Diane.
This is the proposed budget for next year, 2015. It's basically the same budget that was presented to you in October when we did the budget presentations with seven changes made to the preliminary budget to what's been presented for you. Some additional expenditures in the parks, capital projects fund for additional safety work that's being done. And there is money in that fund to cover it. We have reduced the parks revenue and expenditures in the general fund operating fund we've reduced the amount of lodging tax that they are requesting. We're reducing the interfund fees for the fleet equipment management fund and using reserves that we're making reserves that have set aside for purchases. We're adding $20,000 for auditing fees. We've been informed by the time since we've set up a preliminary budget till now, we were informed by the state auditor's office that we will no longer be allowed to do a two-year cycle on the anyway. And the salary ranges and authorized FTEs for the municipal court security officer and judge have been called out in our salary schedule. The municipal court judge is not an employee of the city, it's a contract position, but RCW called, says that we have to call out the salary of the judge in our salary schedule, even though they are not an employee. And the business improvement area fund was removed as a special revenue fund from the budget, and we've also had some updated information on taxes and insurance for salaries and benefits that have increased in our expenses by 20%. So those are the changes that we made to what was presented to you originally. And it's a balanced budget. If you have any questions, I can answer them.
Council, any questions or motion? Councilmember Gamble?
Just a comment. I appreciate item number on the Parks Board there for the thanks for working in the nets. And I know that was a request, from our constituents. I came through the Little League, and I mean, it was an ask, and I'm glad that we were able to. The carved out on the budget, they think it's great. I mean, we're just getting more tournaments and resurfacing that field and that, sort of, I think it's just the right thing to do. Although, legally or from an insurance perspective, hey, we might not, but it's the right thing to do to protect the participants and then also the, those that are going to watch the game, so I appreciate that. Find a way to carve that out, so nice shots.
All right, Councilor Gifford.
Yes, thank you. Very pleased with how it looks, and so I'll move to accept this first reading. Ordinance number 018-2014, adopting the budget for the fiscal year ending December 31st, 2015.
Second. Okay, I have a first reading from Councilmember Hanford, and I have a second from Councilmember Davis. We do have lights. Councilmember Kim.
Thank you. Hey, I just want to get clarification on the reason we're not doing the two-year budget anymore is.
Our revenues are more than $10 million. It's a policy change that the state auditor's office has implemented.
So it's no reflection of our audits, it's a reflection of just the size of our budget.
Okay. Thank you. Councilor Gary?
Thank you, Mayor. And I know we missed Black Friday with a large retailer opening tomorrow. Assuming that the numbers you had anyway, may or may not have included that, but we all adjust as necessary, I guess, during the year. If things are better, things are worse, that type of a thing?
Absolutely, yeah. Part of my job is monitoring the budget and make sure we're not, going to foul anywhere. And so I will always bring to your attention if it looks like we're in trouble somewhere. And conversely, if we have a really good revenue, yeah, more money to.
Very good. And we'll be taking, as the budget message said, we'll be taking a close look before going out to hire the physician. From the Parks Department. So we have built in there within the budget that we're going to be keeping a close eye on the budget. We don't know how the new Walmart is going to generate revenues. And so.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Anything else, Council? Do we have a motion on the floor to accept this as first reading? There's no more discussion on the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed. Motion passes 6-0. Thank you. We've got the next item.
Yeah.
Let me just go ahead and read this in. This is new business item number 2, AD 14-165, ordinance number 19, 2014, amending the 2014 budget. First reading.
By state law, we are not allowed to exceed the appropriated expenditures in the budget. It's okay for over revenues, but not expenditures. And so we need to amend the budget if it looks like we're going to. So there are a few items that, there's 8 items to be exact that we feel that need to be adjusted so that we don't exceed our appropriations. We're not allowed to close our books and our expenditures until January 20th for the state auditor's office. So we're guessing the timing of what things are going to happen between now and January 20th. And so in order to cover ourselves, we're increasing the public defender fees by $54,000. Increasing the state audit costs because they raised their rates by $4,000. We're lowering expenditures for the low-income development projects, because since we did have to pay that money, we're lowering that by $200,000, so that way it's not going to affect the fund balance too bad by raising those other two expenditures in the general fund. The K-9 program, they had money in the donation fund, and they spent it, but we did not budget for it. So this puts it into the budget by $6,000. The water fund, our purchases are going to come in more than what we expected. The good news is the revenues are higher too, but the revenues can go over budgets, the expenditures that we want to make sure we're covering. So we're increasing that by $107,000. Solid waste, same thing. Taxes are coming in higher, but that's because our revenues are coming in higher than what we projected. So we want to increase that expenditure line item by $20,000 just to make sure we don't go over it. And then the sewer and storm capital funds, those are just the timing of construction projects. These are multi-year construction projects, and it's just the timing of when we think the companies are going to submit their invoices for payment. And so it's basically a housekeeping thing. There is money in all the funds that cover it, and all, a lot of it's just timing of what we think those are going to pay.
Councilor, any questions? Councilor Gamble.
I'd like to make a motion to accept this first reading, ordinance number 019-2014, amending the budget for fiscal year 2014 to account for new revenues and expenditures, providing for severability and establishing an effective date.
Second. I have a first from Councilmember Gamble, a second from Councilmember Rasmussen. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next item we have on the agenda is new business item number 3. This is AB 14166, ordinance number 020-2014, amending the MMC 8.04 animal control for first reading. Chief?
This proposed ordinance amends the definition of a dangerous dog to include those dogs that inflict multiple bites on other domestic animals, as well as revising the sections relating to certificates of registration.
Councilmember Garrett.
Thank you. I love the changes, and it makes a lot of sense. I'm going to make a motion as soon as I scroll up to the part where it shows me where the motion is. There, accept this first reading, ordinance number 020-2014, amending MMC Chapter 8.04 Animal Control, relating to the definition of dangerous dogs and certificates of registration for dangerous dogs, for separability and establishing an effective date.
First from Councilmember Gehring, a second from Councilmember Davis. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. We're going to move on now to the next item. Thank you. The next item we have on the agenda is new business number 4. This is AB 14167, authorizing mayor to sign municipal court judge contract. And, Ken?
We're both taking it. I thought it was easier for me to negotiate the contract instead of having Ken negotiate the contract. Boss.
Okay,
so we're going to do tandem together. So the term is for the unexpired term remainder, starts effectively 5/1 December 31st of 2014, and expires at midnight of December 31st of 2017. And this is really the last thing we need in order to start the court in January. So, any questions at all?
Council, questions or a motion? Councilmember Kim.
Thank you. I move to authorize the mayor to sign the municipal court judge contract and expressly authorize further minor revisions as necessary or appropriate.
Second. We have a first from Councilmember Camp, a second from Councilmember Rasmussen. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next item up that we have on the agenda is new business item number 5. This is AB 14168, ordinance number 021-2014, amending Parks Board and Planning Commission term limits for first reading.
On November 18th, 2014, we talked about this briefly with the council, and it did go to the committee as well. And a suggestion was made to craft appropriate amendments to the code to utilize the same language used in MMC 2.26, where it talks about term limits for elected officials in general. These amendments provide for appointments of a period of less than 1 year to not count towards the total years of service in that particular board or commission. So, for this evening, is that change for each decision?
Okay.
Hey,
Thank you. Councilmember Garrett.
Thank you, Mayor. And I'm just trying to remember why we didn't include library board. Was there not an issue with that one? Was it already covered there? I knew these, specifically the parks board, you know, there was an issue. We want to do that. It made sense to do them all, but I can't remember. I guess I don't remember talking about whether we talked about library board or not.
We really didn't get into the library board specifically.
It's a little bit of a different animal.
Yeah.
Because it's people within the library service area. But are we not experiencing the same, do you not foresee the same kind of issue there potentially?
It certainly could include, we just haven't seen any issues thus far.
And I'm certainly, you know, great moving forward to get that comment. You know, and now that I think about it, you know, we might as well include, I don't think we can do anything about civil service commission because that's a different kind of thing. But I believe library board is our only other planning commission, parks, and library board. Do we have another? And then ethics board. If we would want to consider going in and doing the same type of thing as the ethics board as well. But for now, I'm happy to make a motion for this.
Yeah.
But we should at least. Let's do it across the end just so we don't have to do anything else. So I'll move to accept this first reading ordinance number 021-2014. The internal requirements for the Monroe Parks Board and Monroe Planning Commission is defined in chapters 2.16 and 2.32 of the Monroe Municipal Code to address partial terms served, providing for severability and fixing the time when the same shall become effective.
Second.
Thank you. I have a first from Councilmember Garrett, a second from Councilmember Hanford. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion passes 6-0. Thank you. We'll now go on to the next item on the agenda, which is for final action. This is AB 14169, ordinance number 096-2014, adopting MMC 2.80, administrative authority for final reading.
Chief. The purpose of this ordinance is to authorize the Chief of Police to develop and issue various administrative rules, regulations, policies, internal guidelines, and or formal interpretations to aid in the interpretation and application of various City of Monroe ordinances that are subject to enforcement by the Police Department. The determination of which category of administrative document is appropriate for particular matters will be made on a case-specific basis by reference to the surrounding circumstances and the legal framework governing the ordinance at issue. The first reading of this ordinance took place on November 18, 2014. This item is now before the House for the second and final reading. Following the first reading of the ordinance, Chapter 2.80, administrative authority was modified to include the consulting with the city attorney as appropriate from promulgating administrative regulations, rules, policies, internal guidelines, and or formal interpretation pursuant to this chapter.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Yes, I move to adopt ordinance number 016-2014, amending Title 2 MMC by the addition of a new Chapter 2.80, administrative authority, thereto authorizing the Monroe Chief of Police to promulgate and issue administrative regulations, rules, policies, guidelines, and interpretations for the purpose of constraining and enforcing specified city ordinances, providing for severability and fixing a time when the same shall become effective.
Sir. I have a first from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Camp. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you. We're now going to move on to Councilmember reports. Councilmember Gehring.
Thanks. Great Thanksgiving. Fun having a little bit of snow around during the holiday. Hopefully we'll have a little bit more in 3 weeks. That'll be even more fun. Fun for Small Business Saturday. Shopping local. A lot of fun was involved in that as well. A lot going on the weekend with family in town, but nice having family in town to be able to showcase them on a weekend like that. So looking forward to the tree lighting and whatnot this weekend, which is always a blast. My kids, this is fun. It's a lot of fun, and really looking forward to that as well. And a great recut tree farms, or if you want to get a pre-cut one, they're all over town. We do the cut around every year, so fortunately there's one right across the river, across from Paul's Line. It's just a great time of year when kids learn about the candy canes and, you know, everything's up on the light posts, and it's always a fun time around town right now. So, good stuff.
Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, fantastic holiday. Not to mention the nice Seahawks win and being triggered on the San Francisco 49er logo that just popped off tonight. I think we've had a meeting since the know we talked, the 89er, the Bearcat 89er team was in a championship game. They won 32-6, finished the 19th season. Real Monitor did a great article and had a picture and had someone there. That was great to see a picture of the kids with the championship trophy. And great community to support. There's a bunch of folks out there from all the different age groups, all the different teams, so that was really, really neat to see. We hosted the championship day of the event, Monroe did. So all the other championship games were done there, and Pee-wee's, the 89ers, all the way up to, basically the middle schoolers, juniors and bantams and seniors. And it was great, some revenue coming in with all those teams coming in. And, Bearcats made some money on the concessions, and just a great way to showcase our high school and the field, and it's a great day all the way around. Now it's on to basketball, a little warmer.
Councilmember Davis?
Sounds like there's going to be a lot more on Saturday. I look forward to being downtown and joining you guys.
Councilmember Kim? Yeah.
Thank you. In the interest of time, I'll combine the finance committee report. I was going to ask you.
Yes.
Let's do the finance committee report first. We discussed the salary commission again. I think it's going to be presented on January 6th to the council. We have some interesting discussion on the makeup of the committee and what powers will be over to the commission as part of the RCW. So it should be a very interesting conversation on the 6th. And I'm looking forward to that. And I have to read this title because of the year, or the 2 years I've been on the finance committee, it is the most fun title I've ever seen. It's the Fixed Assets Policy, Small and Attractive Items Policy, which turns out are the thing, tell me if I'm wrong, right? It's the things that are less than $5,000 or more than $500, unless they're specifically noted as we. All right, so
this will be presented. Theft sensitive items.
The laptops, the cameras, weapons, which is one of the things that we discussed. I think they're going to present this in January.
Yes.
December.
December 16th.
Very interesting conversation we had on that. So those were the key points we did, so they'll be coming back. That's the finance report, unless the amendments not for good. Okay. In terms of council member report, I was very fortunate to finish the Citizens Academy with the police department. I'm really disappointed at my nameplate that I had put right there. In anticipation of this time, it was very interesting. I had taken it 4 or 5 years ago, and I was amazed at the changes that the police department has gone through, both in technology and training, and just experience. And in light of recent things in the news, it makes me very happy that we have a well-trained, well-disciplined police force. I want to thank the police department for putting on a very good job. Prison staff have one of the most interesting tours of a prison. I've seen places up there I didn't even know existed. It was a very good experience. I am also looking forward to the Saturday Tree Lighting Festival. I think it will be fun. I want to see the live fires.
Yeah,
that would be interesting to see. And of course, the bonfires in Bon Jovi. That was probably one of the best comparisons ever.
That's
what we're asking. You guys have a great holiday as well. And it's a good one. Sounds like looking forward to Saturday.
And I should have mentioned earlier, Councilmember Cutback had announced that she would be absent this evening, so unless there's any objection, she'll be marked as excused in the minutes. Councilmember Gaffer.
Same as well. Excellent holiday. Looking forward to being there for Friday or Saturday.
Thank you. Let's go on over to staff. So, Pam?
Nothing new to report.
Okay. Everything getting set up okay? And
yep.
Okay. Sounds good.
Countdown.
Mike?
Thank you. Well, we have light up Monroe covered, I think, so. Last weekend, we experienced flooding of the Skycomish River before it snowed. And at Al Borland Park and Sky River Parks, we had some flooding there. We've reopened access to Al Borland Park at both ends, from the Lewis Street, the pedestrian bridge, and also Simons Road entry into the park. But we still have the south parking lot at Sky River Park closed. We're waiting for the ice and the snow to melt and the water to recede there. So at this point, it appears that some portions of the Al Borland Park Trail will need to be cleared of silt and regraded. So we'll be getting on that as we can. Also, a section of fencing at Woodley Field has come apart during flooding. And we also expect to find, when the waters recede, silt deposits there as well in the south lot. So I'll keep you updated as we work on repairs in those areas. And that's about it.
Thank you. Yes, Councilor Gamble.
Question on Wrigley Field.
Yep.
On the fence, because you brought it up on the have we ever thought about making it a little bigger?
Well,
taller for bigger dogs? If they can just kind of leap that.
Yeah, it's interesting you brought it up. The style of fence, the wood rail fence, we determined to utilize that due to the flooding. You know, if we have chain link fence that we have in other parts of the park, when we do get the floods and it wrecks that fence, it costs a bit more to replace and repair them. What tends to happen with these things is they kind of float up and we gather them because the river isn't really rushing through there, it just kind of ponds in there. So it's kind of been sort of a low cost type thing. But as far as the height of the fence, we initially, through volunteers, raised money to donate, to purchase the rails. We came up with that. And yes, it is true, bigger dogs could run out, but then we look at that park as it's not something that the owners just put their dogs there and they go sit in their cars or something. It's the owners need to have, sort of some control, verbal control of their dogs, while they're in the park as well as outside of the park. We're open to just kind of revisiting that sort of thing. And if you notice on the wood rail fence, there's big gaps, and we put wire fencing during the warmer months, the non-flooding months, to keep the little dogs from kind of just, as they're walking along there, they'll just walk through. So we kind of addressed that, and then we removed the wire during the flood season. So, we don't have as many issues with that fence. But as far as the height, that's something that we can look at, and that we would need to plan and budget for something like that.
Thanks for the explanation on that.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, I appreciate that.
Are there any other questions? Mike, I want to thank you and your crew for all the work you're doing for Light Up Monroe. I know that you guys put in hours to do things like that. I know that you'll be here most likely. You're here on Saturday, probably.
I'll be manning that snow machine.
Yeah, so.
On the edges of the snow, blame me.
You and your team put in a lot of hours, and I appreciate that. And same thing with Chief and PD and Brad, so and his crew. So thank you.
Diane.
Auditor exit conference is December 17th. It's a Wednesday at 4:30. Council is invited. If you are going to come, please let Elizabeth know, because she needs to publish it if there's going to be a quorum. If you do not attend, that's okay. I'll be reporting to you anyway, whatever they say. And I know there's three issues they're talking about. I don't know to what level they're going to put them at, if it's going to be a management letter or not. Let you know what I know.
Thank you. Ben?
What's it, sir?
We did advertise a position last week.
We did put the managing engineer
right.
position.
Okay.
Yep. And what there it was internal.
Right.
So we have interviews on Thursday.
Okay.
So
sounds good. Chief.
Two things. First of all, Council Person Camp covered the Citizens Academy graduation. This is one of the few classes that we have where we graduated almost 100% of those who started out the first night. Usually we have two or three dropouts, but this was an exceptional class on that. And next Tuesday will be a graduation day for a new officer for us at the Criminal Justice Academy, Sergeant Trevor Larson. That's all I have.
Thank you, Chief.
Okay, we're getting money. We received a TIB grant for $368,000 for sidewalks on the south side of Main Street from the Coffee Stand or Mineral Family Village out to the roundabout. We also got $1.7 million to build the trail on the left-hand side of Woods Creek Road when you're headed out of town from the Safeway driveway up to the trail that goes up the hill to the farm. So, we, however, did not get any money for overlaying Browns Boulevard. We got turned down to those grant applications. We'll be having an open house for the Lewis Main Stormwater Project, just to keep the neighbors informed of what's going on down there. That is December 11th at the Masonic Lodge. And then,
what
time? You know, I asked them what day, and I forgot to ask the time. So, we'll send out an email to you what time that is. I think it's 6, but I'll have to check and make sure.
Thank you.
Update on the Southwest Urban Growth Area expansion. As a consultant is finalizing the work on the land use alternatives for the 2015 comprehensive plan update and beginning work on the required environmental review, we checked in with the majority landowner regarding his participation in the cost, and we discussed that with him and the council in August of 2013. While the property owner is still interested in being included in the urban growth area, he is not currently in the position to contribute financially. He is working on a project within the county and is expending money on the environmental analysis of that project. While he is willing to share that information, it is not currently available, so our consultant is unable to give us a firm estimate of any cost savings by using this information. This leaves a gap of approximately $55,000 in the funding of the 2015 Comprehensive Plan Update contract with Studio Cascade. Even if the information provided will replace the $55,000 contribution when the information is available, that when it's available may adversely impact the completion of the update by the 2015 June deadline. If the council wishes to proceed with the consideration of the Southwest UGA expansion, it may be necessary to use the contingency fund for any shortfall. And this item has been placed on the next week's agenda for further discussion and direction from the council.
So that is on the agenda. I wanted to give you all an update. We staff met with them and then also met with the airport owner yesterday.
Yes.
And I was able to attend a portion of that. Who would like to give an update?
Okay, I'm going
to
do that. We've talked to Dr. Havoc about the airport. It's currently zoned limited space airport, which actually is very limited to what can happen there. We've discussed to him of opening it up, giving it options, allowing the airport use to continue, but if someone in the future wants to do something else, to leave it open so other uses could be done there. And so he was amenable to that because it leaves his options open, so he was interested in pursuing that. So that will be part of the process going forward, is to expand the definition of that area so that more than just airport uses are allowed.
That's good, Gary.
Thanks. And if wouldn't that just go through a normal zoning change if the zoning actually needed to change?
Yes. This is doing the comp plan.
They want it to be airport, but if you wanted to have a restaurant there, you'd still have to subdivide part of it and do a zoning change for commercial.
Well, I think restaurants actually are allowed now.
They would already be
allowed. Yeah, but if they want to do something more industrial or a hotel or something like that, or you know, not do airport at all anymore,
okay.
You know, 20, because this is for 20 years, and just allow it, you know, it would be, you know, zone, you know, comp plan designated something like, you know, regional commercial or something like that, that would allow a multitude of uses that could be then zoned without doing a comp plan amendment in the future.
Now, the last time we had an in-depth discussion on it was there was, you know, we were talking about EB5, you know, at a particular time, and it sounded like Dr. Pino was actively pursuing people to invest in you know, expanding and doing those things, man caves, you know, things that tied in with the racetrack,
right.
You know, all those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
So I would want to make sure that with the change that we're talking about, should something like that, you know, come to pass, those kinds of things are still, you can have an airport,
right.
You can have a charter flight, which we can't have today. And I know there are some, maybe perhaps some mitigating issues with, you know, with the land at the end, but more options and not less options.
Right, yeah, it is.
So I'll be looking, you know, as comprehensive yeah. plans and approving things come like that, I want to make sure we're
yeah, there's definitely the intent to expand the options that happen out there. Yes.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other questions? All right. Anything else, Brett?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
The only thing I have this evening is Brad, Mike, and I attended the Brookdale ribbon cutting this morning. It was very
We're going to go ahead and go over next week's agenda and then the consent agenda. Before we do that, just my report. I was able to attend the meeting regarding the airport yesterday. I was also able to attend the shop local event that the board put on. I encourage everybody next week, this coming Saturday rather, to check out the junction. That's where the Monroe Steaks and Spirit would be, and the restaurant used to be. I'm really excited about the things that are going on there, and the chamber has helped to facilitate that. So that's great. I was also able to take part in the wine walk, and that was great, going around and meeting the downtown business folks again and talking with them. And I guess that's about it. I, as everybody heard, will be there on Saturday for a couple of appointments for the tree lighting and other things on Saturday. And we're ready to go to the extended agenda, but I see that Councilmember Hanford has his light. Councilmember Hanford.
Yes, thank you. I see you have it on next week's agenda, Gene, but I just want to make sure that follow what Attorney Lowell recommended a couple weeks ago. I'd like to give official notice of my intent to move to rescind previous action taken on October 14th, 2014, AB 14-128 East Monroe Options at the December 9th, 2014 council meeting.
Thank you.
That's it.
We're going to go ahead and go over next week's agenda and see if that's
okay. Draft agenda for December 9th, 2014. We have a consent agenda. We have an unfinished business that's just mentioned by Councilor Hanford. Under new business, we have the 2015 fees for presentation. We, under new business two, we have ordinance regarding the Hoseland rezone. It's the first reading. Number three, discussion over the 2015 comprehensive plan, Southwest EGA, that Mr. Bowler just spoke. In final action, we have the ordinance amending impact fee waivers, first reading, or final reading, excuse me. Ordinance adopting the 2015 final reading, that's 2015 budget, can't talk tonight. Approved 2015 Lodging Tax Advisory Committee grant awards. Ordinance amending 2014 budget, final reading. Authorized mayor to sign addendum to public defense agreements. Ordinance amending MSC 3.04, personal control, that's final reading. Ordinance amending Park Board and Planning Commission term limits, that's final reading.
It makes sense to have.
And then under council member reports, we have the P4 committee and the legislative affairs.
Okay. Are there any questions, additions, council member Garen?
Thank you. On the whole rezone, actually reminds me of communication. I know it's right next to the farm. We had received emails from some residents in the farm that were. Had asked about that potential stop sign and where I know they're
going to put
the foothills. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did I say the farm?
Yeah.
That's where I live. Foothills. I know it starts with foothills. About that stop sign, I know there had been some I just wanted to make sure that they had. I think we had responded back to them. I didn't know if there was anything else that was going with that. I just. I remember that as I thought our holes were lending because it's right next to them.
That was sent to P4 committee, and that's what they're talking about. They're meeting on
so then
Monday.
I thought I remember that they were invited to even potentially attend that meeting or something. Or to that effect. I don't remember anything that happened like that.
No, this is just for council discussion, and then whatever comes out of the P4 meeting, we'll come back to city council, which time we'll notify them that something's up.
And I'm pretty sure it was all emailed. It's been since Thanksgiving. We've let them know about that process, that this is what was going to be happening with regard to that?
Yes, I do believe so.
Probably got that. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure. Yeah. I thought of that during this particular, like, this whole zone's right next to my house. That's the part. Not the part. All right, thank you.
Yeah. All right. Anything else about next week's agenda? All right, let's do the extended agenda then.
The only thing that I've had so far is the salary commission discussion on January 6th.
Okay. Will you show that there's a possible cancellation on December 23rd? Councilor Hanford?
Yes, I wanted to make note that on next week's agenda, you have it correct on the council member reports, the legislative affairs committee, but on the extended agenda, it's still listed on occurring on the 16th. So that we did discuss that, and it will be held on the 9th at 6 p.m. So this just a heading, that's all. And then, I was going to make a motion on the 23rd, but I'd be happy to hear what.
Yeah, from a timing perspective, I think, today's the 2nd. Staff will be putting together the packets and everything, I think, on the 9th.
Yeah, if we don't do it tonight, we'll have to do it on the 9th at the latest.
Yeah. So from a work perspective, a workflow perspective, the latest that it should be would be the 9th of December. So we can either make a decision tonight or we can wait until next week.
All right, we'll see where it goes. I'll move to cancel the December 23rd business meeting.
Second. I have a first from Councilmember Hanford, and I have a second from Councilmember Gamble. Any discussion on the motion? Do you see a light from Councilmember Gary?
I think so. I expect that I'm going to disagree. I believe we need to leave it there. We canceled me last month. There is business, and who knows what might come up, and that limits our ability to. I guess we could always add it back in if we need it. Again, that puts additional burden on staff rather than just planning on having it now, seeing if we need it and then canceling it at that time. 6-1, half dozen other, I prefer to leave it there. And I appreciate that others might want to. I know it's 2 days before Christmas. Last year we had a meeting on the 30th. So, I mean, more flexibility is better in my mind. Thanks.
Councilor Kidd?
I just wanted to echo Councilor Beard. Recognize if we have an additional week, let's take the additional week and
Councilor Gamble.
How many city staff and council members for that matter are going to be around on the 23rd or absent on the 23rd? You know? I still support canceling that. It doesn't make any sense to me. We don't have any idea on the vacation calendar that you need.
I do know that some of the key manager team is out
there. Is out. That's what I thought. I guess my point is I don't see anything on the extended agenda that is time sensitive. I would agree with you if there was something that was time sensitive. But everything is time sensitive. We've got on the docket for the next two. If there was anything that we felt that there was going to slip or anything like that. So that's why no problem with saying.
And they're asking by next week, so I'm saying by next week we'll have a very good idea whether or not there's something there. 2 weeks' notice as to whether or not there's something. That was the one that
they have to prepare on the 9th, correct?
So
2 weeks in advance.
Yeah, what we do is 2 weeks in advance. And so
they would start then.
Yeah, so we would start our cycle for the 23rd on the 10th.
I'm just trying to execute on hearing style of government where we want to speed things along. I'm trying to take it through at the time support. Instead of putting it on, that was my thought.
There's always an extra option.
It's up to you guys. While we're looking at the extended agenda, so we do have a motion. We do have a second. Is there any other discussion on the motion? Okay, we'll go ahead and vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed.
Aye.
Okay.
So we've got three and three. I'm gonna go ahead and leave it on the agenda right now for the 23rd. We don't have to wait until next week. So. I'd like to know if there are any planned absences.
Yes.
Okay.
Sure, I'm gonna be out of town on business on January week of January 13th.
Okay, so you'll be out January 13th,
correct.
Okay, anybody else know if they're gonna be out anywhere through mid-January? Oh, Councilor Hanford, sorry.
Yes, I will be missing the 16th meeting. I'll be out that night.
On December 16th?
There's the slightest chance that I might be able to get back in time towards the end if it's like a late meeting, but most likely I will be gone by meeting.
Okay, so Councilor Hanford will be out on December 16th. All right. Councilor Gamble? Or did I already take care of
you? Right.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? All right, we're going to go ahead now and move into executive session with the possibility of action to follow. Actually, with action to follow. So, person to RCW 4230110(1), and RCW 4230110(1)(g). The City Council will now convene an executive session for the purpose of discussing potential litigation with legal counsel and to review the performance of a public employee. The executive session will last start with 15 minutes, after which the council is anticipated to take action in open session. Thank you.
You missed one.
Oh, and also, labor negotiations, RCW 4230.1404B.
And so we'll stick with 15 minutes with potential extension. Thank you.
We can talk about this on Thursday.
Okay.
It should be easy enough to say.
So good.
Okay, so we're back in regular session.
Thanks.
Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. I move that the City Council amend the agenda for tonight's meeting by adding council consideration and potential action approving the proposed separation and agreement.
I'll second that.
We have a first from Councilmember Camp and a second from Councilmember Garrett. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0.
I move that the City Council authorize the mayor to negotiate and execute on the city's behalf a separation of lease agreement in substantially the form recommended in the executive session, together with such minor revisions deemed by the mayor to be necessary and appropriate.
Second.
Okay, the first from Councilmember Camp, I have a second from Councilmember Garrett. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. I have no other business this evening.
Yes.
Councilmember Camp, please.
Move to adjourn.
Okay, the first from Councilmember Camp, first to adjourn. The second from Councilmember Rasmussen. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you. Have a good evening.